This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Huff & Son's Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to the first Saturday of 2019. Hope everyone had a safe and happy new year, and January is a big month for high school athletics. Of course, girls' regionals are about a month away. That's always just staggering to comprehend that once we get into the new year, that girls' basketball postseason is that close, but that is the case every year. You think that I would get used to it, but I do not. Now, coming up next week, we have the potential for history. Steve Kimbrough has 798 career wins. He got 798 last night at Lincolnwood as Nokomis beat the Lancers 55-27. So if all goes according to Hoyle, it'll be Edinburgh at Nokomis Tuesday night as part of the Mohawk Classic for Steve Kimbrough's 800th win. Now, they got Mulberry Grove on Monday, who has yet to lose a game this year, so they got to get past the Aces first. And talked with Steve Kimbrough earlier this morning. We'll bring you that conversation in about a half an hour here on WSMI Sports Saturday. But, David, I guess it's true of all coaches, but when you hear the elite coaches talk about it, it just really rings home as to why they're as good as they are. He takes it one game at a time. Mike, you know, he's human, so it's crossed his mind, 800. But he hasn't been counting down the victories to 800 all year long. He takes it one game at a time. How do we win and beat the opponent in front of us today? And you have to have that singular focus and that singular approach at all times to have success in coaching.
Well, more so because, I mean, you're the leader of your team, and you've got to set the tone so the rest of your kids are going to mimic that way of thinking. Because if he's not thinking one game at a time, his players surely aren't thinking one game at a time either. And so if he's focused on one game at a time, some of the players are maybe going to look ahead too, but the tone is being set that they need to follow his example.
798 wins. So if they beat Mulberry on Monday, we will have the broadcast on Tuesday. It'll be at Nokomis. That would be fitting. They will take on Edinburgh Tuesday. And if it's for number 800, we'll have the broadcast on WSMI FM 106. Of course, coming up, I think it's later this month. I don't think it's early February, but they're going to play Lincoln. Of course, Coach Kimbrough's old high school teammate, Neil Alexander, already has 800 career victories. And that will be an awesome night in Nokomis. I guess Lauren Wallace is expected to come back from Arizona, be in attendance there. And that will be a situation. If you want a seat, I recommend getting there a week before the game.
Yeah, it's the week after the Litchfield Invitationals when that game is.
January.
Yeah, something like that. And all, I don't know about Lauren Wallace, but Alexander and Kimbrough both from Fillmore. So pretty neat that those two legendary coaches came from the small town of Fillmore, as did Molly McDowell.
That's right. And Neil Alexander, he plays the 1-2-2, just like Steve Kimbrough and Nokomis do. So it'll be a fun night. And Nokomis will have their hands full. Lincoln is excellent in the Class 3A level. And they've only lost two games, both those coming at the Collinsville Holiday Tournament. They've got a 6'10 kid who is getting D1 looks.
Is this their first time playing, at least in a while?
Yeah.
They don't play each other.
Oh,
year,
no,
right?
This was something that they've been trying to put together for a number of years just because of the personal connection between the two coaches, and they finally got it done. It's a two-year series.
Say.
Next year, it'll be at Lincoln.
That's a heck of a drive, especially. Is it during the week or is it on a weekend? I don't know the date specifically, but for a weeknight, that's a nice trek for Lincoln kids.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
No school the next day. We'll just cancel it.
There you go. It's like when you go to the state tournament back in the day. No school on Friday.
Absolutely.
On that quarterfinal day.
Absolutely.
So congratulations to Nokomis and Steve Kimbrough on win number 798. The Skins now have won 8 in a row. They are 10-4 on the year. Of course, they'll be part of the Litchfield Invitational, as David alluded to. And the seeds, I guess, it's all done. Litchfield's going to be releasing that information coming up at noon today. We're going to talk to Drew Logan later on in the program. Panthers
maybe
picked up
get an exclusive and a preview. Maybe he'll release the seeds for us.
Perhaps. We'll or see. He might tell us to buzz off.
Yeah, good. They can handle it how they want, I guess.
It's their tournament, David. Yeah. They can do what they like. But it's one of the great in-season tournaments. They get the nice mix of small schools, big schools. And the great thing about that tournament is that they start with pool play, and then they move into bracketed play after that. So that is very good. It always lends itself to a very good tournament. Hey, our buddy Steve Johnson with the BRS Museum just texted me and says it is Saturday, January 26th.
Okay, so, yeah, beneficial for everyone because that is a nice trek, Lincoln to Nokomis.
It is. So it'll be a Saturday night game. We thank Steve Johnson for that information there. And the Litchfield Purple Panthers, great win last night at Vandalia. That's one of those tough places to play. The Purple Panthers won it 71-68, and it is a resurgent season in a lot of ways for the Purple Panthers, David. We've talked about it throughout the year, but Litchfield, they needed something good, not just athletically, but just kind of for the district as a whole. There's been a lot of turmoil as of late for Litchfield. And so to see the basketball team performing like they are, they got 10 wins now. They're unbeaten so far in the South Central Conference. They're playing dynamite basketball, and it's been fun to watch Drew Logan and the Panthers have success here so far in the season.
Well, and they've looked like a different team. I mean, in the last
Sam Painter's a different player,
right? The last few years, in games this season, they've gotten down, but they fought their way back into the games and even won some of those games. The past few years, that was not the case. They would get down, and that was all she wrote. They couldn't find their way back into it.
Confidence is such an amazing thing in sports, in life in general. If you're feeling good about yourself, generally you can make good things happen. And to your point, when a team's not going well and something bad happens, you think, well, here it goes again. The snowball's going downhill. It's over. But when you've got the confidence and something bad happens, you think, so what? We'll overcome this.
Yeah.
No big deal. We've been in worse spots.
Yeah, but as you said, Sam Painter looks like a different player. He was always good before. But this year, his senior year, he's taken it to a different level.
He is consistently the best player on the floor, no matter who they've played this year. I mean, he has been dominant.
And I didn't see him play much last year, but just the 3 years prior, he wasn't running the point too much. This year, he's actually running the offense, and for a kid who's 6'3", that's kind of a weapon at the high school level.
He's got a highlight reel type of game. I mean, he can make the spectacular play. But one of the biggest differences for Sam this year is he's found his jump shot.
Yes.
And when you've got the ability to get to the rim like he does, when you can knock down 15-footers, knock down the three ball, it really makes you really difficult to defend. Because if you get up on him to take away the shot, he's going to blow by you.
Yeah.
And now this year, if you sag off of him to take away the drive, which was always the play in years prior, now he's going to pop it right in your eyes.
And he's got a great cast surrounding him, too. Brady Bishop's had a phenomenal year. Ethan Washburn down low's had a great year. Billy Beckham, you've said this before off the air, that he does a lot of things that don't show up on the box score, but still important to have.
Very critical to the team is Billy Beckham. So we'll talk to Drew Logan later on in the hour as well. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to talk with Darren Deneve. He's the head coach, of course, and athletic director at Carlinville High School. They're off to a 14-1 start. Their only loss this year was a 1-point loss to Hillsboro back in late November. And the Cavaliers tonight will take on Staunton, and it is a special night in Carlinville. It's been 10 years ago since the Cavs played in the Elite Eight. They lost that game to Nashville. It was a tight affair, but they will honor that squad from 2009 tonight in a pregame ceremony right before the varsity game. Now, it's an early start. 5 o'clock JV start, 6 minute quarters. So we'll be on the air in front of 6 o'clock this evening on FM 106 online at WSMIRadio.com. We'll bring you the pregame ceremony from the floor as Carlinville honors their 2009 Elite Eight squad. And the way I understood it is the entire team is going to be back. So, Elizabeth Kelly, of course, was the dominant force on the team.
Includes Kelsey Carr.
Now, that was, if memory serves me last year, that was their junior year when they went to the Elite Eight. And then their senior season, Kelsey didn't play. She was focusing on some sort of track and field career. I guess that
shame,
worked out for her.
Shame on her. That was my senior year of high school with 08, 09. So this is the 10th year I would have, or 10 years I graduated this year, 10 years ago.
10 years.
Yeah.
Where does the time go, David?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about a reunion, so maybe I'm not invited.
Maybe they probably don't want you there.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't blame them. I
that's entirely possible. Remember, I do control the microphones.
Oh, that's it. You're going to cut me off?
Perhaps.
Strangle me with the microphone wire? We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Darren Deneve about his 2009 Elite Eight squad when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Going to catch up with Darren Deneve here in a moment on Sports Saturday. We'll have a conversation with Steve Kimbrough as he closes in on 800 career wins. That'll come up nearing the bottom of the hour. And then we'll talk to Litchfield Purple Panthers head coach Drew Logan coming up later on in the program as well. Coming up tonight, Staunton will be on the road at Carletonville in girls basketball action as the Cavaliers will honor their 2009 Elite Eight squad. And, you know, sometimes you can't control how things work out, but on the 10-year anniversary of a team that went to the Elite Eight, the Cavaliers off to a 14-1 start, and they are doing it in impressive fashion. I mean, if you're 14-1, obviously you've done it in impressive fashion, but they have obviously the ability to lock you down defensively, which has been a long time trademark of Darren Deneve since he's been at Carletonville. But this year, their offensive game has come around a little bit more. They're knocking down the perimeter shot a little bit more consistently, and that has gone a long way for the Carletonville Cavaliers being off to a 14-1 start. And head coach and athletic director Darren Deneve joins us on Sports Saturday now. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, doing well. And does it seem like it's been 10 years since that Elite Eight team?
No, it sure doesn't. But when I think about it and I see pictures of it, you know, my children were pretty young at the time, and now they're, you know, a junior and a senior. And so when I think of it that way, I guess, yeah, 10 years makes sense.
Yes. And I think that was only your third or fourth year at Carletonville, though, wasn't it?
Yes, that was my third year. And so, you know, the likes of Elizabeth Kelly and Nikki Benny and Savannah Bates and Allie Goodman and Cameron Walton and Becca Callow, they were freshmen that first year when I came.
And obviously that was a special season. And, Darren, you've coached a long time, so you understand that you have to enjoy those moments when they're happening because you never know when you're going to get back.
Well, that's true. I think, you know, there's a certain amount of skill for sure, but there's a certain amount of luck that goes into a postseason run as well. And we had a good team, and we were able to get a regional where we beat a solid Litchfield team in the regional final. We had a matchup with a good Pittsfield team in the sectional semifinal. And then we played Pleasant Plains in the sectional final, and they had beaten us by nearly 30, I think, the year before in the postseason. And they had beaten a terrific Southwestern team, and I think we were the underdog in that sectional final, but we were able to pull it out and win by 3 that year.
And obviously when you stepped in at Carletonville, you had a phenomenal freshman in the waiting in Elizabeth Kelly, and what a career she had.
Yeah, she certainly helped us win several games. You know, it's I remember, you know, like I had coached 13 years of either high school boys or small college men prior to coming to Carletonville, and we were in practice, and you know, a couple weeks in, and people would say, "Well, are you going to have a good team? How are your girls?" And I just hadn't watched a lot of high school girls basketball, and I just remember saying, "Well, I don't know a whole lot, but the tall freshman girl seems to be able to score whenever she feels like it, and so if she could do that against the competition, then I think we're going to be okay."
Worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
Darren, and of course, Kelsey Card was on that team as well, and there was no way to know at that time that she was going to go on to be an Olympian.
No, you know, she was pretty impressive as a freshman in the shot put and discus. You know, when she was a freshman, she really probably would have told you that volleyball was her number one sport. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a terrific volleyball player for Fran, and played club volleyball during the winter of her freshman year. And then, you know, during the spring, of course, she won her her first of several state championships in the shot put and discus as a freshman. And then I think she realized, shot put and discus was really going to be her ticket to an athletic scholarship. And suddenly that freed up time for her in the winter to play some hoops. And so that worked out pretty well for us.
I've heard from a lot of girls, and Kelsey has told me this, that volleyball was actually her favorite sport. It wasn't necessarily, she was dominant at volleyball, but she goes on to the Olympics in track and field. Now, she didn't play her senior year. Now, was she injured? Was she nursing an injury, or did she just decide to focus on the track and field?
She had a hip injury, her senior year for basketball. She did play her sophomore and junior years, so it would have been, 09 and or 08, 09, and then 09, 10. She would have played both of those years. But then her senior year, she's in the class of 2011. Her senior year, she didn't play basketball, like I said, due to an injury. And, if she hadn't had a Big Ten scholarship, I think maybe she would have fought through it. But, no one certainly blamed her at all for resting that hip.
Darren, you told me a funny story. I don't remember what year it was she was on the team, it would have been. But there was something about she threw a ball the length of the floor, and you thought, I can't do that.
Well, I don't even really know why. You've been in our middle school gym, and there's a mat at the end of the basket that says Warriors, or at least it used to. We have a new mat this year. And during a water break, I have no idea why I was doing it, but I had the ball rack next to me, and I was throwing the ball the length of the court trying to hit the S in Warriors. And Kelsey just walks in after her drink of water, and she says, "What are you doing?" And I explained what I was doing, and she goes, "Well, let me try." And she took the ball, and on the first shot, she threw it all the way across the court, and it hit the S. And her throw had a lot less loft in it than my throw did. And I thought, holy smokes, we've got something here.
So. And Darren, when you've got good athletes, people come to the games and they see the athleticism, but when you have them in practice every day, you really come to appreciate the level of athleticism.
Certainly, and it's like we had Kelsey, of course, who's a future Olympian. Elizabeth was a terrific athlete. I walked into Kelsey's eighth grade practice my first year, and a girl named Katie Graham, who was on our team as well, she just jumped up and hit the backboard and as an eighth grade girl. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? And so and we had some quickness with some other girls and athleticism. It's a good group. And not only that, it was an extremely intelligent group as well.
And I know as far as your guard play went, Savannah Bates, man, she was huge for you guys that season and her whole career, really.
She was. She, Savannah, Elizabeth was a really, really tough player. But in terms of toughness, Savannah had every bit as much toughness as Elizabeth. So did, I had three left-handed guards. Allie Goodman was a left-handed guard, and Jenna Wernstein was a left-handed guard in Savannah. All three of them were really very solid on defense, and we just kind of had an interesting rotation there of three left-handed guards out front. And Savannah, she used to be a little almost too aggressive offensively, but she really was competitive. And I remember once during her sophomore year, I just said, "Savannah, how is it that we are going to win most games?" And she says, "Well, chances are if it's Elizabeth has a good game." And I said, "Well, then she needs to touch the ball every time down." And once we had that two-second conversation, Savannah made sure that Elizabeth touched the ball every time down because Savannah wanted to win. And she was not alone. It was a competitive group.
And they're all going to be back tonight, or basically all of them will be back tonight?
There'll be eight of them there tonight. So we've mentioned some of their names. I don't have a list in front of me, but let's see if I can do this. Elizabeth Kelly and Savannah and Allie Goodman and Nikki Benny. And Cameron Walton was a junior that year as well. She's unable to make it tonight. Becca Calau was a junior. She's unable to make it. Our only senior that year was Renee Young, and she'll be there tonight.
Yeah, she'll be there.
She's my assistant coach right now. Our sophomores that year were Kelsey, and then Katie Kirk, who was a good post player, Jenna Wernting, who started for us most of that year, Hannah Carpenter, who won't be able to make it tonight, Katie and Carly Graham, some twins that will not be able to make it tonight, Susan Herndon was a sophomore that year as well. And then a freshman dressed a little bit for us that year named Callie Salsky, and she won't be able to make it tonight either. But we'll have a good turnout for sure.
And the ceremony will be before the varsity game. JV starts at 5, playing 6-minute quarters, so probably around 6 o'clock, maybe a little in front of that. We'll have the ceremony. We'll carry it live on FM 106 as well. And, Darren, it's weird how things work out, but on the 10-year anniversary of that team, you might this year have your best team since that year.
Well, one of them. I mean, we had certainly a good group with Megan Staten and Kathleen Kelly and Talisha Scott and those girls and the Schmidt sisters and Carly Kuhlenkamp and so on. We had some good years, those couple, 3 years in there as well. But, yeah, we are certainly playing well right now. We're excited about it. We've had some close games, and we've pulled several of them out. We're playing well on defense is really the key for this year.
And that's really been the key for you, Darren, since you've taken over the program, is you guys have always guarded.
Well, we certainly put an emphasis on it in practice, and, you know, it's one of those things where it just matches the girls we've had. We've had some good athletes. It takes good athletes who are smart and dedicated to guard, and that's what we've had here in Carlinville, and this year is no exception. And they're buying in. They trust each other. It's, you know, when you go to help, you have to trust that someone else is going to help you, and they do that. And so it's been really a pleasure to coach. They're all, like I said, they're all buying in, and we are guarding people.
For the second straight Saturday, you're going to face the Staunton Lady Bulldogs. You beat them for the Holiday Tournament Championship last week. And a lot of times it's hard to beat a good team, you know, back-to-back weeks especially.
It is. We certainly have our hands full tonight. Kyle's got a good team and some really, really improved players. And they're dedicated as well. You can just see the competitiveness in their eye when they're out there. And so I look forward to a close game again tonight.
All right, Darren, thanks for a few minutes of your time. I know you got a shoot around coming up, so we appreciate you jumping on, and see you tonight, sir.
All right, thanks for having us on, and thanks for being there tonight.
Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carlinville Lady Cavaliers, as they will honor their 2009 Elite Eight squad in a pregame ceremony. We'll be on the air in front of 6 o'clock this evening. We'll carry it live on FM 106. Be streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, earlier this morning had a chance to catch up with Nokomis boys head coach Steve Kimbrough as he closes in on 800 career victories. We will bring you that conversation when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages. Joining us now on Sports Saturday is Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough. And coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, and you're getting close to 800. I know you told me earlier in the year you're not thinking about it, but you're two away. It has to cross your mind at some point, doesn't it?
Well, I'm aware of it, but, you know, it's not my biggest priority. You know, it happens. When it happens, it happens. And I'm more concerned with the way we're playing and whether we're executing correctly and making the right decisions on the floor and giving ourselves the best chance to win.
And it's that mentality that has allowed you to accumulate so many wins over your time on the sidelines. And your next game is a big one against an opponent who hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, they're playing very well. Got a couple of their guards back, and they had a very good trio of guards last year. And, you know, they're 11-0. 12-0 Manala. They played Ramsey last night, and then they got Raymond tonight, and that'll be interesting to, since we just played Raymond last night, to see, you know, how things go with the Morrisville tournament with them. And we'll have them on it's almost like our second home floor over at Morrisonville. So we'll have a chance to see them early, I think 5:30 game on Monday.
And you've had a lot of success in this Mohawk Classic. I think you've won it 24 of the 32 times you've been in it.
Yeah, we've been lucky. It's, you know, and it's good for our fans. That's one of the main reasons we started getting in that years ago was, which I guess about 26, was Mount Pulaski. They'd just come off of, you know, winning a state tournament a few years earlier and an opportunity to go play a team like that with Ed Bukovich, well-known coach around the state, was one of the main reasons we got in it. But it turns into it's a real easy travel for our fans, and our fans have followed us well over the years over there. So it was kind of – and it's one of those things, it's one tournament where we're the big dog.
Mm-hmm.
After what we do at Thanksgiving and then going into the Litchfield tournament, where we're one of the smallest teams, we get an opportunity to be the big team.
And that is a different look for you guys, and I was just going to comment, the tournaments you get in are very selective. You challenge yourself right out of the gate in that Stovetop Stuffing Classic, by far the smallest school, and You got off to a 2-4 start because of the tough competition, but Steve, it seems year in, year out, you guys benefit from that early season test.
Yeah, you know, we always tell kids it don't take us long to figure out where our weaknesses are at because they're exposed real quick. We haven't had a lot of success. Now, you know, we always felt like, you know, if we can win two games in that tournament, where that was back when I was in a three-game tournament, now it's a four-game tournament for us, that we try to win at least 50%, and we had success there over the years. We won it several times, and we just really struggled the last several years. The teams that are in it have, you know, their programs are getting better, and we just haven't been able to compete the way that we'd like to. But, again, we was able to come up with one win this year, and which is better than we've done over the last several years. So, but we've been able to rebound from that, come out and work on the things that, you know, were causing us losses early. And in this particular case, it was really handling the basketball. We've been working on improving that and not so many turnovers and giving ourselves more opportunities to put points on the board. Those are the things that, we learned out early this year. And then we get back into schedules around our area and, you know, we have a little bit more success. And as long as we don't ruin our confidence early in the year and we can learn from it and get better from there, then it was worthwhile.
Well, that's always a fine line, isn't it, Coach? Challenging yourself, but yet not getting your kids too beat down.
Yeah, and we've been able, and we understand that, and we've been able to recover from that for the years. And, boy, you know, it's tough until you see those, you know, you get to put a W up or once in a while like that. You know, you start doubting what you're doing, but again, we've been through this year after year after year, and the kids seem to respond, and then we're on the better side of our schedule right now.
I know the seedings were done this week for the Litchfield Invitational. Where did you guys come out?
We got seeded second. And our pool is Bethalto and Mount Zion. So, you know, here we're going in with 2-3A schools, and I know the records aren't as good. Mount Zion has just won a couple games, but you look at who they play, and you know, they're seeded 10th, Bethalto seeded 7, and we did beat them early in the year, but I'm sure that they've improved. So, you know, coming out of Morrisonville, we ain't going to have a whole lot of rest time. We're going to have to come out and play 2-3A schools right off the bat, and it'll test us, which, you know, that's what we go there for, is play some people that we don't see. Even though we played Mount Zion, or played Bethalto, we'll have an opportunity to play Mount Zion.
And Terry always says that the reason – you guys are usually the last local team standing is because of the way that you challenge yourself. You still wind up getting your wins in the end, but you don't like the game just to get a win for win's sake.
No, I like to see people we don't normally play. And here we're getting an opportunity to do that with Mount Zion. And even though we'll see Metro East, you know, they're, I think, the three seed, maybe get an opportunity to play them, and we can get into the winner's pool. So, you know, I like to play different people, and we've been able, although, you know, we see a lot of people in the Litchfield tournament throughout our schedule at some point, still an opportunity to play some good competition.
Steve, I thought last night in your win over Lincolnwood, I mean, obviously it was a dominating performance, but the Lancers really made a concerted effort to commit a lot of bodies to Carter Sobel, and he didn't score a lot of points, but man, he just has an effect on the game in so many different ways.
Well, if they're concentrating on him, somebody else has got to be open. You know, Alex had a real good night from the perimeter last night, hitting 5 of 8 threes. You know, and it opens up some penetration lanes for our other people. And that's what he's got to understand, is that if we can use him as a decoy offensively and get the ball to other people and put the points on the board, then that's going to benefit the team. And he's got to learn to just continue to work and not get frustrated. And Raymond did a very good job. They knew what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. And Carter's got to adjust and mature a little bit as a player, because he's going to see more in that as we go on through this year and next year. And then the people around him on our side of the ball, they've got to adjust and take advantage of those openings whenever the opponent gives them to us.
Coach, you aren't a deep team this year necessarily. So the ability to, I guess, for your first five, to know how to play with fouls, that will be an important thing for your club moving forward.
Yeah, we've known that from the beginning, that we don't have the depth that, you know, we've had the last couple years with all the seniors that graduated last year. But, you know, we've been able, we've got people that we can juggle positions. We've got people that can play both, and Carter would be one of them. Carter can go play outside, which he did last night for a little bit. You know, we got very flexible people, and we're trying to develop some of our younger kids. You know, they're getting a little bit better. What's been up till now is Herb Street's typically come in as a ball handler for us. If we've needed that, Alex can play down on a wing position. Stu and Wrighty can play the wing positions. Wrighty can play underneath. We've worked him down in there underneath a little bit. So, you know, we've got very flexible people that can move into different positions, and we can hopefully get out and play smart enough if we get into foul trouble. Of course, we work on that nightly, too, that, mm-hmm. you know, being smart about, you know, how we pressure and not making silly fouls and trying to keep where we keep our main people on the floor.
And when you get Carter Sobel on the point of that ball press, man, that is a load.
Well, that's one of the main reasons that, you know, you put him out there with that big wingspan, and, you know, he played it probably about two-thirds of the year last year, and then, you know, we put Austin McDowell out on the point and really solidified, I think, what we did going down the stretch, and we haven't put him out on the point this year, you know, with Alex and Ryan and Stu, that those three, good size and good mobility, but we've started being a little more aggressive with our pressure, and we've been bringing him up on that point. We've been doing a pretty good job of transitioning him from a point where we just left him last year. There, he's still getting back into the low block defensively.
Has anything surprised you about this year's team, Steve, or is it kind of how you thought it would go?
It's pretty much what we thought. I wouldn't say there's any major surprises. You know, we knew we've got talent. The biggest thing, I guess, and whether it's a surprise or not, it's just something we've got to work on, is we've got to be better ball handlers. We've got to quit making the mistakes, especially the turnover mistakes. We just make some silly passes sometimes, and, you know, we just think a lot of them are you know, preventable. And you know, we end up hurting ourselves, which, you know, again, in a game last night, it may not cost the ball game, but I'm constantly thinking about, you know, whenever we play a Mount Zion or we play a Bethalto or, you know, Metro Eastland, and then these mistakes are going to hurt us. And, you know, we got to get enough confidence and get our game going where we really cut down on those turnovers and give ourselves the opportunity to put points on the board.
See, final question, as you get close to 800, do you remember number one?
No. A few years ago, I look back, and I know the very first game, I think, was Vandalia, and they beat us, so I don't remember who the second game was.
Typical coach, you remember the losses more than the wins, don't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Steve, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. Hey, and good luck on your quest for 800.
Thank you.
Steve Kimbrough, the head coach of Nokomis, joining us earlier this morning on Sports Saturday, and potentially number 800 coming Tuesday night. It'll be part of the Mohawk Classic. They play Mulberry Grove on Monday. That game will be in Morrisonville. If they win that, then number 800 could come Tuesday night at Nokomis against Edinburgh. And if that's the case, we'll have the broadcast on WSMI FM 106.
Encourage you to go out to see the Mulberry Grove Nokomis game, though. I mean, we're not going to have it on the air, and it could actually end up being a pretty good game.
Aces were good last year, yeah. Unbeaten to this point this year. They'll play Lincolnwood tonight in the opening night of the Mohawk Classic, as they will have, let's see, at 6 o'clock, Carletonville will face Edinburgh, and then Lincolnwood against Mulberry Grove at 7:15. Those games will be played in Morrisonville. Steve Kimbrough broke a little bit of news in that interview, announcing that Nokomis is the 2 seed in the upcoming Litchfield Invitational. The seeds are done, haven't officially been released yet. That's going to happen later on today, but Nokomis has gotten the 2 seed at the Litchfield Invitational. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Litchfield head coach / one of 4 athletic directors at Litchfield High School, Drew Logan. We will do that when Sports Saturday continues.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. It is a big day for high school basketball around the state. The Mohawk Classic tips off in Morrisonville. The Cavaliers at Edinburgh at 6, Lincolnwood and Mulberry Grove at 7:15. The 97th Winchester Invitational Tournament begins today. They are underway right now. Concord, Triopia, and Brown County tipped off at 9. Calhoun and Pleasant Hill will play at 10:30. Porta and Greenfield Northwestern at noon. Camp Point Central against North Green at 1:30. Payson Seymour will take on Carrollton at 4. Jacksonville Rout against Griggsville Perry at 5:30. West Central against Liberty at 7. And then the nightcap at 8:30 has Barry Western facing off against Rushville Industry. In Clinton today, they had their New Year's showdown. North Mac takes on Hayworth at 1:30. Rochester against Seneca at 3. Marrero Forsyth and Monmouth Roseville at 4:30. Bloomington Central Catholic will face Bartonville Limestone at 6. And Clinton takes on Sangamon Valley at 7:30. Coming up in a couple of weeks, Litchfield will host their Litchfield Invitational Tournament. Joining us on the phone right now is head coach Drew Logan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
I know we're not going to talk about the Litchfield Invitational today because you're going to release all the information around noon today, you told me. But Steve Kimbrough did break a little news. He told us Nacoma's got the two.
Yeah, I mean, seedings are really not much of a secret. It's kind of the scheduling aspect of it. We released everything to the coaches yesterday afternoon, basically gave them 24 hours to look over for discrepancies just because, this will be my first time technically leading the tournament with Coach Rentz being gone. And so we wanted to make sure we weren't making any obvious mistakes before we sent it all out.
I guess with that in mind, Drew, would you mind telling us who the top seed is and where you got seeded?
Top seed is Taylorville. That was unanimous. They're sitting at 10-1, a pretty good team, obviously. And, we are at 5, right behind Greenville and right in front of Hillsboro. So it's after you get past the first seed, I think it's a pretty balanced tournament. Obviously Metro East has a pretty solid team coming in. So it could be a real interesting week for sure.
And off the top of your head, where did Metro get seeded?
They are 3.
They're 3, okay. And, yep. Drew, this is such a beautiful tournament because you get the small school, you get the big school. But what I think separates this is, one, it's always seated properly. But with the pool play first going into brackets, that just lends itself to a really good final day.
I agree. It allows during that pool play. We've had instances just ourselves where – 1 year, I think we had lost to Hillsboro, then we beat Columbia, and then Columbia beat Hillsboro, and it goes down to free throw percentage. which was a crazy year, but it kind of works itself out through pool play usually, but, there's always those upsets or surprise games where it lends to some really good basketball on that final Saturday.
Is it going to run the same week that it always does?
It is starting the 12th. So we are January 12th through the 19th.
Okay.
So, yep.
It's always a fun week of basketball at the Litchfield Invitational. And, Drew, you mentioned you guys are the 5 seed. You are having a phenomenal year. You picked up your 10th win last night at Vandalia. That's always a tough place to play.
Oh, yeah. I've said it before. We've got a few places that no matter records, we have good games there. And Vandalia is one of those places. We always have a battle there. It was a close game all the way throughout. I think maybe we ended up with about a 6 or 7 point lead at one point in the fourth quarter and then, made some decisions late that didn't help us, but we were able, like I told the kids, we're finding a way to win in close games where in the last few years we found our way to not pull those games out.
And Sam Painter has just had an explosive senior season, so much development from last year to this year. And when I saw you at the holiday tournament last week after that tough loss to Calhoun in the semifinals, which I thought was one of the best small school high school basketball games I've seen in a while. It was played at such a high level. And for you guys to bounce back then the following day and show up like you did against Southwestern, I thought that showed a lot about the character of your club.
It does. And, you using the word explosive is a perfect explanation of just Sam's game in general. He's really kind of taking that step forward, but I think as a group, and it's something that, we joke about as coaches all the time, on the bench. I called something last night. I can't even remember what it was. And Sam kind of goes off opposite of the screen, goes in and scores. And I'm like, that's great coaching right there. That has nothing to do with me. The kids have bought in, and they know that, Sam's got to take some shots. It's really that simple, but the other kids have bought into the point and to the fact that, They're okay being that role player. They're okay being the guy that maybe sets out and shoots threes. They're okay being the, Ethan Washburn ends up with 26 last night, and it's on our drive and dish stuff. So, they've been willing to accept a role, and like we talked to him about this morning, this group has, they haven't been on a team that's been this successful. So it's something that we've got to continue to build on, and we started practice 20 minutes ago, and the kids are – good energy, ready to go.
Yeah, winning certainly helps that. It's good to see you guys having success. You mentioned Ethan Washburn. He's not tall necessarily, Drew, but man, he is tough on the inside.
He is a very well put together young man.
Yeah.
We know the parents, and his dad's a very big man. But yeah, the thing is with Ethan, I mean, he was, he was kind of in a role position last year on our JV team, and didn't get a whole lot of minutes last year for us on varsity. And even in the beginning of the summer, we thought, I don't know. About 2 weeks into the summer, he really started picking up on what we were doing, and you can see it now. I mean, goes from being a kid that didn't get a lot of minutes last year to a kid that I don't take off the floor unless he's in foul trouble.
Right. And I've heard you talk the last couple of years about the importance of Billy Beckham to your team. And
yeah,
he's a kid, Drew, he might not score a bunch. He'll have nights where he does.
Right.
But he does so many things to affect the game in a positive way.
Well, and we noticed, obviously, last year especially, he really took off around Christmas and was that kid that we couldn't quite put the finger on why we were better at times with him on the floor, but we were. It's definitely noticeable still this year, but I think we've got so many guys that are willing to do those little things, that it's, I won't say it's not as noticeable because we notice it as coaches, but maybe it doesn't stand out as much because the other guys have bought into the fact, okay, well, if I'm not doing this tonight, I got to do this. So Billy's had a good year, and I mean, he's one of those constants that we know what we're going to get every single night. I know his focus is going to be there. I know his effort's going to be there, and I can't ask for more than that.
And then Brady Bishop has really developed into a knockdown shooter for you.
Yeah, I talked to Brady last year at the end of the year, and I just told him, I said, we really need you to be able to handle the ball. And we talked to the team just in general about, we got to have guys that can shoot. I mean, it's obvious with Sam, people are going to try to pack the lane. Well, you can only pack the lane if we don't hit the outside shot. And Brady spent a ton of time working on his game. Him and Sam actually played in a fall league north of here on Sundays to work on their game. And they spend a lot of time after practice for 30, 45 minutes just working on themselves, working on their shooting, working on their attacks at the basket. So they put a lot of time in. I'm glad they're seeing the results.
And Sam, his shot has gotten better this year too. And when he can shoot, Drew, and he becomes in some ways unguardable, because before you could sag off of him, dare him to shoot. Now he's going to put it right in your eye, and if you get up to take that away, he's going to blow by you.
Yeah, I mean, there's not anybody that we've seen so far that's able to stay in front of him. We obviously have some teams coming up as we get later in the season that defensively we know they're going to give us a good matchup on him. But yeah, he's got the outside shot, and I mean, I haven't seen anybody that blocks his jump shot yet. So it's fun to watch. I mean, I enjoy it as a coach because, I enjoy watching good basketball just in general. And I'm again glad for him that his work is paying off in the season, because sometimes you put that work in, you don't see instant results, and you get down on yourself. And he's been really able to battle through some of those adversity things early in the year. I mean, first game of the year, he struggled right off the bat, and then comes out in the second half and just torched Marissa, who I think is ranked in the top 15 in the state right now in 1A. So, it's fun to see.
And Drew, this is kind of a stupid question, but how badly do you guys want to be in the championship bracket at your own tournament?
I keep talking about baby steps. When you got a team that struggled over the last couple of years, and I just want to get to Saturday. I want to get to the second Saturday. I don't really at this point care. Now, obviously, I would love to be in the championship game, just as I would have in Carlinville, just as I would have in Metro. But my thing for this group is we've really focused on taking a game to game. We can't worry about, coaches look ahead. We start looking ahead and getting film on people. But, our focus right now, we have Wood River here on Tuesday. That is our focus. That's all we're worried about. And then we'll move on to North Mac after that game's over on Tuesday.
And, Drew, it's great to see you guys having success. Best of luck the rest of the way, sir. Thanks for some time.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. So you heard it. Taylorville, the top seed. Nokomis, the two. Metro, the three. Greenville, the four. Litchfield, fifth. Hillsboro, sixth. Fantastic
CM7.
Tournament.
We can go CM seventh because we know they're seventh.
Right.
That is a really intriguing 4-5 matchup in pool play, though. Greenville, Litchfield.
Yes, it is.
Have they played each other yet?
Nope.
Okay.
No, because Litchfield is 3-0 in league play.
That's right.
After their win last night.
Okay. That is a really, really interesting. Actually, the seeding held pretty well, I think.
The seat, yes. And this, as we alluded to, with the way these coaches do a phenomenal job seeding this tournament. Sometimes the seeds in tournaments can be a little skewed. Never it doesn't seem with the Litchfield Invitational, because these coaches, they're familiar with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they know each other, so it gets seated properly, and then love the pool play into the bracket play. I wish we saw more tournaments like that, especially the tournaments that are big. You know, when you've got 12 teams, 16 teams, just putting them everyone in a bracket, it can get a little cattywampus from time to time. But when you put teams, seed them, put them in pools according to the seeds, and then play out to brackets, boy, that just lends itself to good stuff.
Well, and despite the fact that the range of size of schools is so big in the Litchfield tournament, there's a lot of these teams play each other before the Litchfield Invitational, it makes it easier for the coaches to seed the teams because they're familiar with how well they've played. So you don't see a lot of tournaments that are like that, where you'll just see like 16 or 12 teams, but it's at random. Nobody has played each other before. Nobody has played like opponents before. So you're just kind of seeding with your gut.
That's never a good idea.
No, it's not. And that's kind of what happened with Calhoun in the Holiday Tournament. It was because really nobody had seen Calhoun, so they threw them fourth, and realistically going in, they showed they were the best team in the tournament.
They did. So the Litchfield Invitational will start a week from today. Of course, we'll have coverage of the Litchfield Invitational.
Is that different than the county this year, I wonder? Because they're in the same week. So if it is a week earlier this year, because usually the day two of the tournament will be on that Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That's the 21st this year, so Litchfield will not be playing that week. They're up a week this year, so is that a different week than the county this year?
I haven't looked.
Okay.
I haven't looked. Bad on me. Fail.
Shame on you.
Shame on
show
me.
Prep. Where's your show prep?
Show, what's that? Never heard of it. We'll have live coverage of the Litchfield Invitational, of course, here on WSMI FM 106 when it gets underway next week. That will be a fun week of basketball. Coming up today was talking about how there's just so much going on in the basketball universe today. The Highland Shootout is today, and this is premier stuff. You got Nashville Effingham at 11:30, East St. Louis Bloomington at 1, Highland and Poplar Bluff out of Missouri at 3, CBC out of Missouri against Rockbridge at 4:30, Chaminade, we all know about Chaminade, you know, David Lee went there, Bradley Beal went there, Justin Tatum. Jason Tatum went
there.
He's a
Duke guy. How could you screw up his first name?
My bad. That's shame on me.
Who's Fail. Justin Tatum?
Fail. Who's this guy? He was pretty good, too, his yeah. daddy. They will play Nicollet, Wisconsin at 6, and then Belleville West against Bashan. And if you're planning on going to that game, I think it's too late. Done, sold out
really?
Already. That's 7:30 tonight, Belleville West and Bashan. That will be a high-level basketball game.
Good to see future Buckeye E.J. Liddell, the best player in the state. Was last year. He's probably headed to another Mr. Basketball this year.
No question about it. They're unbeaten this year, and it'll be very interesting to see if Belleville West can go back-to-back 4A championships, because they were the first non-Chicagoland team to win the 4A title when they did it last year.
Yeah, so when was the last time a non-Chicago team won the back-to-back, won the 4A state title back-to-back years?
Well, 4A never happened in 4A, but in the two-class system, you probably have to go back to Peoria Manual.
Mm. Boy.
Yeah, since it's gone to four classes, the 4A has been dominated by the Chicagoland schools.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting state tournament this year with Belleville West, probably, and Chicago schools, three
we
Chicago
know this.
Schools.
You got to get there, and the best team doesn't always get there, certainly doesn't always win. So for Belleville West, who knows, they might get upset
they
along
could.
The tournament trail. A long way to go before we get there, but there is certainly no guarantee. While it's likely that they will be there? No guarantee.
Right.
Just like Southeast in 3A. I mean, they're dominant. They're awesome. But when you get into the postseason draw, maybe you have a bad night. Maybe somebody gets in foul trouble. Maybe you just run into a team who just plays the game of their life on a given
night.
And
it's like a rivalry game who's familiar with you and just they want to beat you extra bad.
A lot of different things can happen.
Absolutely.
Let's mention high school wrestling while we still have a few moments left in the show. The Mount Olive Tournament is today. Of course, this is a great small school wrestling tournament. Hillsboro and Carlinville will be at Mount Olive today. And it's an awesome day because Ron Ryan will be coaching his final tournament as the Wildcats head coach. We had him on the sports program a couple weeks ago. You can get that in a podcast at WSMIRadio.com when Terry Tope had a conversation with, I believe, in his 50th year as a wrestling coach at Mount Olive. So I hope Coach Ryan has fun today and takes in his final tournament at Mount Olive. Also, the Princeton invite is continuing today. Litchfield was in 28th position after one day. Vandalia in second position after one day. Of course, the Vandals have the strong showing at Abe's Rumble last week, coming off of a season ago where they finished second in state. So the Vandalia Vandals off to another strong start on the wrestling mats. High school basketball tonight. It will be a fun night. Carlinville will host Staunton. We'll be on the air in front of 6 o'clock here on FM 106. We'll carry the pregame ceremony as Carlinville will honor their 2009 Elite Eight squad. Thanks to Darren Zanee for joining us this morning. Also thanks to Steve Kimbrough and Drew Logan for being part of Sports Saturday. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on the first Saturday of the new year here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.